Hi, good evening, everybody. It's Parsha Shmos. And we're going to continue this week speaking about the halachas of shinui makom, changing your place, as in regard to hilchos brachos, that when you go from one place to the next, it requires you to make a new bracha. So we've been speaking about that the past few weeks. This will be the last week. So this week we're going to discuss what type of change of place requires you to make a new bracha. So there are three categories. One category is called house to house, or bayis labayis, which really means going from within a house to outside the house, or from outside the house to inside the house, or I guess more accurately, from house to house. It means going from your house to another person's house, or from your house to outside. So that's one category, leaving the house. Second category is room to room, going within one building from room to room. And the last category is outdoors. What constitutes a shinui makom when you're outdoors, like if you're in a park? So let's start with the first category. So leaving a house automatically is going to be a shinui makom, like we discussed the past few weeks, that the concept of shinui makom is that your suda, your meal, is wherever the makom you are. It's limited to the place where you are. And if you leave that place, you've ended your meal, and therefore that requires you to make a new bracha. And this is true when we're talking about things that don't require an ala michya or benching. So we're talking about, keep it simple, eating an apple. So if you eat an apple in your house, and then you leave your house and you go out to the street, you are now required to make a new ha'etz if you want to continue eating that apple, even though you're holding the apple in your hand, and you ate it in your house, you made ha'etz, leave the house, you have to make a new bracha. This is not called a bracha she'ena tzricha, it's not a bracha levatala, it's as a chatchila, you are obligated now to make a new bracha. So if you step out of the street, you have to make a new ha'etz, even if you go back into your house, the same house, you still are required to make a bar pri ha'etz. So this is pretty straightforward, and the only exception to this rule, or semi-exception, is when you're not, when, instead of going into the front, you know, the street in front of your house, what happens if you go outside your house but to the back of your house? Say you have a back porch, and you go onto the porch, or you, even if you go onto your, into your backyard, assuming your backyard is enclosed with a fence, as most backyards are. So then, although you've gone from inside your house to outside your house, but being that you're still in an enclosed area, like your porch or your backyard, and that enclosed area is a part of your house, it's part of your domain, so we don't consider the backyard as being a different place and consider it as being part of your house, and just as if you would have gone from room to room. Now, there is some debate about this, but being that it's not clear, so you don't make a new bracha. So going out of your house into the backyard would not require you to make a new bracha, but it's not so advisable to do because it is a suffix. So better would be to make a bracha achrayna before you go outside, or to make the bracha to begin with outside if you plan on being outside. But if in the event that you ate your apple in your house and then you went onto your back into your backyard or onto your porch, it would be considered still in the same house, and you would not be required to make a new bracha. So that's the halacha of going mibayis labayis. The next category is going from room to room, or mecheder lecheder. So that, the halacha is that if you go from room to room in one house, you do not have to make a new bracha, regardless of how distant the two rooms are. So if you go from your basement all the way up to your third floor attic, makes no difference. It's mecheder lecheder. It's two rooms in the same house, and they doesn't require you to make a new bracha. It's all considered one big place. The question arises when you're living in an apartment building and you're going from your apartment to your friend's apartment. That's a very interesting question, because you're, on one hand, you're in one house, so to speak. The apartment building is one big domain, and you're going from one room in the apartment building to another room in the apartment building. So that would seem, on one hand, to be like cheder l'cheder, but on the other hand, it's owned by two different people. So going from your apartment to someone else's apartment perhaps should be viewed as going mibayis l'bayis, from house to house, and that would require you to make a new bracha. And this also is something which is a machlokes, and therefore, once again, you don't make a new bracha. So going at any time that it's considered one domain, you will not make a new bracha. So if we want to put everything under one umbrella, what we'll say is that going from your house to the street requires you to make a new bracha, but going from your house to the backyard, which is one domain because it all belongs to you and it's surrounded by a fence, or going from your house to your apartment, your neighbor's apartment, which is also one building, both those cases will put under the category of of room to room, and therefore you're not required to make a new bracha when you go from one to another. So that's the category of leaving the house, and then that's the category of room to room. Now, the last category, when you're in the outdoors, is an interesting category. Basically, we've already discussed last week that if you're on the road, then you don't have any place at all, and there's no concept of shini makom. So you make a bracha in your car, or if you're strolling and you're drinking a water bottle, so every place is your place. Where then does it come up, this concept of changing your place when you're in the outdoors? That is if you've made yourself a place. Like, for example, if you go to a park and you set up a picnic. So if you go to a park and you set up a picnic, so you've actually been kaveh makom, you've made yourself a specific place where it is that you want to eat. And when you make yourself a specific place where you want to eat, so then as soon as you leave that place, you require to make a new bracha. So how do you leave the place if the place itself is only it's in the great outdoors and it's not surrounded by a fence or anything? So the Chazal said that leaving the Dalet Amos of where your place is, leaving the 6 to 8 feet of around your place, is already considered leaving the place. With the added caveat that you can't see your place anymore. So I guess it would be like this. Let's say you set up a picnic in a certain spot on the beach, and then you leave for whatever reason, and you go far enough away from the place where you set up the picnic that you can't see the spot anymore. Like you jog down the beach, or you turned a corner, or you went behind the tree. Once you can't see the place, and you're out of the 4 amos of the place, it's as if you left it, and you are required to make a new bracha. So, in summary, we have three places. We have leaving the house, which means going out onto the street from the house. That is always requires you to make a new bracha. If you're eating an apple, even if you go back inside, you're still required to make a new bracha. Going from room to room in one house does not require you to make a new bracha. It's all considered one house. And we said included in that, we're going to include going into your backyard or back porch, which is surrounded by a fence, or going into your neighbor's apartment in the same building, are also going to be considered from room to room. And lastly, we talked about if you're in a park and you set up a picnic, so you are in a specific place, as soon as you leave the 6 to 8 feet away from there and you don't see it anymore, that original spot, whether it's because something's blocking you or because you walked far enough away, it will be considered a shinui makim and you'll be required to make a debracha. This week's parasha begins as the Shvatim all pass away, and the pasuk says that Vayakam Melech Chadash on Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef, a new king arose over Mitzrayim who did not know Yosef. So what does it mean he didn't know Yosef? What is that supposed to mean? What does it signify? So what Rashi says is he made himself as if he doesn't know Yosef. He didn't show any hakaras hatayv. He didn't show any gratitude for the fact that Yosef HaTzadik was the one that actually allowed Mitzrayim to survive all the years of hunger. He was the one that provided. He provided for Mitzrayim. So the pasuk is giving a rebuke to this Melech Chadash, this Paroi. And it's decrying his evil nature that he was lo yada as Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. He made himself as if he doesn't know Yosef. He ignored the fact that Yosef had done such great acts and had given so much to Mitzrayim, given so much of himself to Mitzrayim to help them survive and get them through those difficult years, and instead took it out on the children of Yosef, Bnei Yisrael. And the question begs to be asked is that this Paroi, did one would think he was way more evil than just simple lack of Hakaras HaTayif, simple lack of gratitude. I mean, he was a mass murderer. He took little children and either killed them and used their blood to bathe himself, or he took children and decreed that they should be thrown into the river. This was someone who was quite a serious psychopath, and one would think that the least of his faults was this, that he didn't have Hakaras HaTayif, he didn't have gratitude to Yosef. But it's interesting is that the Chazal say an interesting thing. Chazal point out in the beginning, in the Medrashim, in the beginning of the Parsha, they say that Paroi wasn't really so interested in attacking and enslaving Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says that the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, went to Paroi and they said, listen, it's time we do something about Klal Yisrael. We have to take care of them. We have to, enslave them, do something to make sure that they don't get the better of us. So he told them, and to quote the Medrash, he says, shoot them at them, you idiots. Ad achshav mishalhem an oichlam. We've been eating because of them. The heich nizdavig lehem. And how do you expect us to attack them and to oppress them? If not for Yosef, we wouldn't be alive. So the Medrash says that the Egyptians saw that they weren't getting any traction with Paroi, so they unseated him. Literally, they removed him from his throne for 3 months. And he was able to withstand this for 3 months. He still stood by his guns, and he said, no, we can't do this. This is wrong. But finally, after 3 months, he says, you know what? Whatever you want to do, Hareini, Machem, whatever you do, I will do. I will be with you. And then they put him back at his post, and they gave him back his throne. So this is a fascinating thing. It seems that Paroi had some level of Hakaras HaTayif. He had some level of gratitude. He did feel like he had to honor Yosef and he couldn't oppress the Jews and enslave them and hurt them, when the reason why they were alive and the Mitzrayim and the Egyptians were able to survive just because of Yosef. And he was willing to be taken off his throne, and he held out that way for 3 months until he finally caved in. And yet the Pasuk says he's lo yada es Yosef. The Pasuk says, no, Paroi lacks Hakaras HaTayif. That makes the question even more interesting. It's someone that actually did go out of his way to show some Hakaras HaTayif. And what could you expect from a person? You know, he's being taken off his throne, and he's the king, and he had all the amenities and all the lavishness of the king, and then he's put to work in, you know, some garbage heap. So he says, okay, you know what, I can't stand this anymore. And then they put him back. Would you say about such a person that he lacks Hakaras HaTayif? He couldn't withstand the Nisayon. He couldn't withstand the test. So what we see here is a fascinating thing. What we see is that Hashem expects, even from a person like Paroi, even from a person who ended up being a real, so to speak, psycho, who killed and murdered and maimed and tortured, he expects Hakaras HaTayif, and he expects gratitude to the point where he expected Paroi to permanently give up his throne, so not to betray Yosef. And what I think this means is that there are certain qualities that the whole world expects of people. And if they don't, they're looked down upon as extraordinarily cowardly and low and not respectable people at all. For example, there's this concept that the captain goes down with his ship. Right, so if you have a captain and a boat, and the boat is sinking, so it's his duty to stay on the ship until he sees that every last passenger is off, even at the risk of drowning himself. So you say, okay, that's like seriously noble. That's very, you know, nice that he should be Meiser Nefesh and he should give up his life for the sake of his passengers. But what happens if the captain jumps ship? I mean, how could you blame the guy? He just wants to stay alive, wants to see his wife and kids. Well, why would you hold it against him? And the fact is that, yes, the world will hold it against him in a major way, to the point where they will try to incriminate him and press charges against him in every possible way. It seemed to be such a cowardly act. It's some basic understanding that that the world expects from a person like that, that he will go up till Mesiras Nefesh. The world expects of a soldier that he won't betray his country, and if he does, the world will look down upon him, and it seems like rightfully so. There are certain basic, elementary, powerful midas that the world expects a person to be Moser Nefesh for. It's an expectation. If you do it, you will be viewed as a hero. The captain that goes down with his ship is lauded as a hero. If he doesn't, it's the extreme opposite. So it's interesting. You would think it should be one or the other, but no. Either one, either if you do it, he's a hero. If he doesn't, he's a coward. The Torah looks at Hakaras HaTov as an extraordinarily powerful midah, betraying a trust, betraying someone that helped you, that kept you alive, that sustained you. Betraying that person should be so ingrained in us and should be so ingrained in human beings, even people like Parag, even someone who is a mass murderer. It should be so ingrained and so powerful that he should be so passionate about it, he should be willing to give up his throne for that. And truthfully, he did. Look, a person that was that low did give up his throne. He just couldn't hold out. And the Torah says, he is lo yadas yasef. If he wasn't able to hold out, it's because he doesn't really have that basic mida of hakaras hatov. He doesn't have that basic mida of gratitude. And what the Torah is saying is he lacks basic humanity. You can be a murderer, but you have some human qualities. You can have some qualities that define you as an honorable person. You know, misguided but honorable. But if a person has no hakaras hatov, he's a coward, a person that lacks trust, he's not human. And that's what the Torah was saying about Parah. He lacked, the fact that he wasn't able to hold out and wasn't able to have that gratitude, the Torah expected from Parah to be able to give up his throne in order to not to betray the trust that Mitzrayim had with Yosef, and not to betray the gratitude and the feeling of the fact that Yosef kept them alive throughout all those years. And the message to us is how basic and how important it is for us to focus on that midah of Hakaras HaTov. If the Torah expects so much in such a tremendous way to give up everything to for the sake of gratitude, not to betray someone that did so much good to you, you can imagine how much the Torah expects of us, Yidden, who do understand what everything is about. And when it comes to showing a karas type, showing gratitude to the people that help us, the people that support us, our parents, our people around us, our rabbeim, our friends, our support group, our network, each and every one of them, they can show us and give us so much good. How much more are we required to show them a karas type and to truly express gratitude properly? Have a good night and a good Shabbos.